Lori said I had 10 minutes on her. I had 28 seconds left. Oh, boy. That's a record, isn't it? Timed that just right, didn't I? Woo! Let's see if my sermon goes that fast, huh? All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 21. Renewing your thinking. You know, we have our old thinking, right? And the Bible says we need to have a new thinking. Thinking about our attitude. Making it better. And Paul's going to tell us how we can do that. So, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 21. He says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. How many has done that? Have you? You've laid aside the old self. The old self is gone. It doesn't ever come back to haunt you. Now, we can't say that, can we? It does. But Paul said we are to lay the old self aside, which is being corrupted in the accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed. There it is in verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And the verse 25 says, therefore, in laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each of you, with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. I mean, don't even let him get his toe in the door of your life. Don't let him even have a place there in your life. In verse 26, he who steals must steal no more, but rather must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Boy, that's good stuff there, isn't it? Edification of the need for the moment. Let something good come forth from your mouth, is what it's saying, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the redemption, for the day of redemption. And Paul is referring back to chapter 1, where he says that each one of us who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying here, that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. In verse 31, let all bitterness and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So, that's a good way to start out the new year, to renew your thinking, your attitude for the new year. Someone once said, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. People with great attitude succeed. Those with negative attitudes, he says, fail. And I want to share some E.C. McKenzie quits and quotes on attitude. He says, some people think to themselves, do it tomorrow, you made enough mistakes for today. Anybody make any mistakes already this morning? Well, but don't put it off tomorrow. Do whatever you're going to do. Do it today. Here's another one. He says, a diet is what you keep putting off while you keep putting on. No farmer ever plowed a field by turning it over in his mind. That's true, isn't it? The kindness plan for tomorrow doesn't... The kindness planned for tomorrow doesn't count today. Viktor Frank once said, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. Joe Thrashman enjoyed a memorable 12-year career as a quarterback for the Washington Redskins. He led the team two Super Bowls appearances, winning in 1983 before losing the following year when he had a leg injury. And then that was in 85, which ended his career as a professional football player. But he also established a record, and it's in the books, as Washington's all-time leading passer. Still, the end of Thrashman's career taught him a bitter lesson. This is what he said. I got stagnant. I thought the team revolved around me. I should have known that it was time to go when I didn't care whether a pass hit Art Monk in the 8 or the 1 on his jersey. When we went back to the Super Bowl, my approach had changed. I was grumbling about the weather. I was grumbling about my shoes. I was grumbling about practice times and everything else. Then he says, today I wear my two rings, the winner's ring from Super Bowl 17 and the loser's ring from Super Bowl 18. The difference in those two rings lies the applying to oneself and not according to anything, but doing your best. So, in the scripture here today, Paul urged the early Christians here, as I read here in Ephesians chapter 4, to replace their old sinful nature responses, difficulties, with new attitudes. The Apostle Paul said right here in verse 22 through 24, put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Then he says in verse 23, to be made new in the new attitude of your minds, put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. John Stout said, however holy or Christ-like a Christian may become, he is still in the condition of what? Being changed. And we're being changed by the renewing of our thinking, renewing of our mind. And Paul was telling the Ephesian church to renew your thinking. It's easy to be in the habit of thinking old negative attitudes in the past. And whatever those were in the past in 2015, this year, and it's almost in, it's almost over, and we can't change anything in the behind us, can we? But we can make something different and new for 2016. And each year we should strive to do something better by our renewing of our thinking, renewing of our mind. So I want us to look at some guiding principles that will help us learn to replace negative attitudes with Christ-like positive attitudes. And by knowing, by believing, by practicing these attitudes, I believe we would demonstrate that we are more than conquerors through the one who loves us, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. So first of all, what you and I do, and I'm speaking as well for myself, is replace evil with good. Now, when we're thinking evil, anything can be evil when it enters our mind, or it's not carrying it out. But replacing anything that we might think evil, do evil or anything, the scripture said that we are to turn it into good. Romans chapter 12:21 says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, people who are able to utilize the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells within all of us or them can build better relationships, improve on their thinking, their activities, will form the basis of a healthy life. That's a proven fact. When we think positive, when our attitude, well, that's why Proverbs 22:17 says, a merry heart is like good medicine. So if you want to take medicine, I know that many of us take medicine, right, or some sort, but if you want the good medicine that is wholesome to your life, your spiritual life, your whole life, then it's a merry heart. It's that the scripture says it's good medicine. Having a merry heart. Okay, we also replace worry with faith. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 8, it says, do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present yourself to God. And then verse 8 says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, we need not to get upset when things do not go our way, realizing that the Lord uses disappointments to develop us in greater godliness. Sometimes He places those things in our lives so it will make us stronger, not weaker, not bitter, but more loving. We ought to replace our anger with love. Jonah, in chapter 4, verse 2 says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. This morning, as I was here at the church early, thinking about this very one where Jonah is saying that you are a gracious and loving God, and I want my heart to reflect that, I automatically thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the what chapter? It's the love chapter, which says, love is patient, is kind, not jealous or envious or boastful or proud, or proud, or selfish, or rude. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Then Paul says, it does not easily become angry. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then it says in verse 8, love never what? Fails. Love never fails. So Christ's love for you and me enables us to love others instead of allowing anger to get the bitter part of our attitude. Also, replace sorrow with joy. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10, I am sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, what was he talking about, material things here? Not at all. He was talking about the spiritual things that God has placed in his life. And many of those spiritual things and responsibilities were the people that God had placed in Paul. So he said, I might be poor, but I'm rich because of all of you. I'm rich because of all the blessings that God has given me and entrusted in my care. And he could talk about Timothy as well, because Timothy came up under his guidance, his protection, his teachings. So Paul says, I am rich in the Lord because I have all the abundance of the resources that God has given me, and therefore I'm passing them on to other people. And he said, yeah, you know, I might be sorrowful, but I'm rejoicing always in the Lord. Now, we are to replace gloom with cheerfulness. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Then he says, again, I say rejoice. So what are you saying? Again and again and again and again, rejoice. Don't be anxious for anything, but rejoice in the Lord always. See, happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice that requires determination to be happy amidst of sad situations. That's why Psalms 98:4 says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our ever fountain of strength. So if you ever find yourself down and out, stressed out, everything, say, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Not all these things, the circumstances, situations around me that wants to drag and pull me down, but the Lord is my strength. If you start praising God, if you start singing to the Lord like Jimmy does, that's your strength in the Lord. He is our strength. Replace distress with confidence. In Psalm 71:5 says, I praise you, Lord, for giving me your sense of certainty. For you have been my hope, O sovereignty, Lord, my confidence since my youth. And see, why would he say that? Because that's the way he was raised. That's the way he was brought up. Because he had been taught the scriptures, as I shared a while ago in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in which in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. From my youth, I have known what I've been taught. I've been taught the scriptures, and therefore, I'm still relying on that in my life. And see, you and I can say that. If we've been brought up that way, we can always reflect upon the goodness of the Lord. If we wasn't brought up that way, and you got involved in church, you made a personal relationship in Jesus Christ, now you know what the truth is. Now you know what God wants in your life, the purpose in His will in your life. And now you can take where God has planted you, and now you can continue to grow. And what you do for the Lord in your own life will reflect, and it will continue to flow through your life into other people's life, and that will make a difference to other people who are seeking and need to know the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. So you can replace distress with confidence that God is with you. And then the Bible also talks about jealousy. We can change that to commitment and contentment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. I can do all things, everything God asked me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. And then error Replace error with truth. And a lot of young people today are struggling with that in their lives. Error. There's no error with the Word of God. The Word of God is infallible. It's inerrant. Everything in the Bible, weak and true. We can believe it. We might not always understand it, but we can replace any error that might come up in our lives, and we can replace it with the truth. Because Jesus says, you err because you do not know the Scripture or the power of God. So if we don't know, we need to be enlightened with God's Word. Because learn how to know. Learn how to obey and love the truth found here in the Scripture. See, only then are we set free from the negative attitudes and actions that the world wants to push into our lives. We can be free from error or anything like that if we replace it with God's truth. In the Discipleship Journal, Carol Mayhall tells of a woman who went to a diet center to lose weight. So the instructor took the lady and he walked her over to a tall mirror. And as she was standing there, she wasn't very pleased with the way that she looked. So the instructor walked over to the mirror and he took a marker and he began to outline what he wanted this lady to look like after she completed the program. She began the rigorous training and exercise and dieting that he instructed had given her to complete the program. Week after week after week, she would go back to that mirror and she would stand there and look with discouragement because she had not fulfilled her instructor's measurements on that mirror. But guess what? She stayed with it. She stayed with it, and week after week, when she walked to that mirror, she finally was within the lines that her instructor had placed or drawn on that mirror. You see, we might get discouraged, and see, God has drawn the boundaries for us. He has placed the boundaries for each one of us. And we, when we stand before the mirror, and if we can visualize what those lines are for us, according to the Scriptures, if we're not satisfied, we can be this lady. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself, because God hadn't given up on us, has He? He never will give up on us. But stay with it. And then one of these days, when you walk up to the mirror, the spiritual mirror of faith, and you're looking into that, then you're going to be pleased what God has done, because you remain faithful to His Word. If you'll make that commitment this coming year, you're going to see a difference at the end of this year, like a year from today. As you stand before God, you're gonna visualize something new in your life, the renewing of your thinking, renewing of your attitude, renewing of your spiritual growth in 2016. Nothing can be changed about 2015, but boy, you can do a lot in the road ahead, right? We can do it together. Praying for one another, encouraging one another, lifting each other up into prayer faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your gracious love, Your caring love. And Lord, as we look forward into the next year, Lord, we thank You for what we have accomplished this year. But Lord, may we never be satisfied where we are, but may we continue to want to grow even more in Your grace and Your love. Help each one of us to set a goal to what we would like to accomplish in your name. And may we stick with it, stay with it, stay the course, look at the finish line, and not give up. Lord, bless this service, bless this invitation. Whatever the need is, whatever the calling is this morning, let your Holy Spirit make it clear to each one of us what we need to do, what decision we need to make, whatever we need to give up, Lord, and then claim you for the sake of Jesus. Make it clear to each one of us. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your unconditional love, and your grace you extended to us. And may we even do greater things for the sake of Jesus this new year. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 91. Hallelujah. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I'll be here.